this is your dear pal, the Joker, and you have the privilege of listening to Ear Candy from the 8-Bit Geek Podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a review with Jeremy.
Did you forget your name?
Well, I thought about doing, like, what we were talking about first, or, like, saying our names first, so I was like, well, we'll just go with names.
Okay. I don't know if you're like, I'm going to give myself a crazy Suicide Squad name, like Killer Jer.
I was thinking Killer Jer would, I'd go with that. I'd be okay with that. That might be my new moniker for online gaming.
Killer Jer?
Killer Jer.
Yeah, well, there's the problem.
Uh-huh.
You actually have to, like, be, a killer.
I can have a killer persona and, no, like, just ride that out online.
Because if you're not, I'm not saying that you're not a good gamer, but I'm saying, like, if you're not good enough, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, if you get into one of those games where people are really good, they're just going to mock you relentlessly.
Now, I could see where you're coming from on that one, but what if I'm really bad and, like, that persona only comes out if I get a kill? So, like, I'm 0-16, and then I get that one kill, and then I'm just like, you just got fucked by Killer Jer.
Well, I mean, yeah, that worked, I guess.
See? And then you just pull that out every once in a while, and then it's just like, yeah, what? And then I get mocked.
Yep.
We are here to review Suicide Squad. We both saw it tonight, Thursday, 7 p.m. showing. And before we get into the meats of it, I'm not going to do a synopsis because if you don't fucking know, you're crazy. This is probably the last tentpole movie of the summer, yeah?
Of the summer, yes.
Of the summer. And so this is how we go out. It's August, it's the last month, and Suicide Squad finishes us out from a kind of lackluster summer.
Yeah, a lot of big titles, a lot of not very good
titles.
Yeah.
Okay, so overall, without spoiling anything, just give me a quick, what'd you think of the film?
I really enjoyed it. I did. Mm-hmm. I did have issues with things, but not like I did with Batman versus Superman. And we were talking about this earlier. One of my friends was like, man, I kind of wish this had come out first. And I was like, I'm glad it came out after. Because if this had come out first, I would have been like, okay, DC knows what they're doing. This movie universe is going to be fun. And then if we went and saw Batman Superman after that, I would have been severely disappointed.
Yeah.
But I feel like because they released that one first, this one came out and it was like, okay, all right. You know what? I have a little bit of hope.
Yeah. It was a fun movie. It was a good movie. And wasn't a great movie. Mm-mm. Let's get this straight. We'll get all into that. Like, we'll get into the what we didn't like about it and everything. But overall, it was a fun summer movie. And if you're not a comic book fan and you're going to see this movie, you'll probably end up really loving it and liking it. More so than probably what we'll go through and kind of break down. But we went with somebody who definitely was not a comic book reader, just your everyday average fan. And she said she loved it.
See, like, I could also see the other side of that, where, like, critics right now are just, they're hating it. But I also feel like critics can go suck a dick. Like, most of them, if it's not like a, you know, I guess what would be like a movie nominated for an Oscar or something, then they just shit all over it most of the time. Like, I feel like, except maybe with like I guess Deadpool got like good reviews.
Deadpool got good reviews, and then Civil War got good reviews.
But I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of movies, because, like, I keep hitting my coffee mug. If you hear that, I'm sorry.
I thought a train was pulling up.
All aboard. It's a trolley.
Yeah, it's a trolley.
What you don't know is that I actually am living in what used to be Mr. Rogers' house.
I was going to ask you if you were watching that show.
Yeah.
I bought the train set. It just goes by every 5 minutes. It makes me happy.
Now, my son is really into Daniel Tiger, which is a PBS show that takes place within the Mr. Rogers like world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so in the trolley world. So, like, you know those hand puppets and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, it's those characters, but they're animated.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's actually a really good kid show. Like, I dig it. And so does my son a lot. But yeah, so trolley. all the time.
All aboard.
Yeah. Shit, what was I saying? Oh, just the reviews. I don't know. I feel like a lot of times if it's a big blockbuster movie, they tend to be a little more like skeptical of it, and they go in like immediately hating it like out of the gates, and so they don't really give it a fair shot. I feel like that a lot, especially with the DC movies, because I feel like their issue is that Christopher Nolan, I feel like, spoiled us with like two really good Batman movies and then a third Batman movie after that, but like two really good ones. And so I think that they are holding DC up on this pedestal, like, well, you did it with Christopher Nolan.
Why can't you do it now?
Yeah, why can't you do it now? And it's like, well, it's a different universe in that. And like, I understand, like, well, you did it once, why can't you do it again? Well, I mean, Marvel's made some good movies, but then they have had some not so great movies.
Right, but they haven't had a Batman versus Superman yet.
Yet. It is a matter of time.
Yet. So we're talking about Marvel and DC a little bit. And my big thing is with Marvel, with their system that they have set up, you can take all the superheroes out and you still have a fantastic film, right? Because it's built on the pillars are story and character development, and that is really like the foundation. This movie, if you took all the heroes out, you would have a what the fuck, right? What is happening right now?
Yeah, it wouldn't make a lot of sense.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense. And so that was and I did stumble a little bit through this film. With trying to the plot just wasn't strong, a very strong plot.
No, but like, I guess to be fair, like neither was the plot in Avengers 2.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't enjoy Avengers 2 that much.
I enjoyed it. I didn't. That's a tough, because I remember walking out of that movie and being like, I like this a lot better than Avengers 1. Because I felt like Avengers 1 was weak too. See, I liked it. I liked it a lot because it was fun to see all those characters finally come together. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome because it hadn't been done like in a cinematic way across like really any universe yet. So it was cool to see that. But like, I mean, it's like half the movie they're like trying not to be a team. And then the last half, you know, they're fighting these alien invaders, and it's that huge mega destruction that we always give other movies shit for. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about that is that you've actually, and you're starting to see that in DC too, where it like it spans. Like they, you know, they do talk about it later. Like, you know, Marvel's Daredevil, they talk about like, oh, well, you know, this is post the event.
This is
New York. So
this is okay. So I'm gonna mark this as the pre Geoff Johns era. Batman versus Supes, and then Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
This will go down in history as known as the before Geoff Johns took over, because I'm interested to see what happens now with the universe when you have somebody who is so entwined, like just so in tune with the actual comic book characters and the knowledge that he has and what he wants to do with the universe. This is the same guy who looks over the TV universe and. He knows how to juggle all these films and storylines and make them intertwine.
Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see. Yeah, like you said, even the tone of the movies, because this one, that's the thing also about DC is that their movies have always had a more serious tone to them than the Marvel movies had. Marvel, and it's like that in the comics as well. Marvel is way more lighthearted than DC is, and that works for it and against it, because I in most cases actually prefer DC comics. Especially like Batman, I like the dark and gritty Batman comics more than some X-Men and stuff. I don't know, like, but in the movie universe, you get to that point, especially now where it's been like, you know, every movie that you do has been like, with the exception of Green Lantern, but Green Lantern was a jump the shark like piece of shit movie, but it was fun with Ryan Reynolds, but it was like everything else sucked about it.
This one tried humor. It fell flat.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked some of it.
I liked some of it. A lot of it was really campy and cheesy. Like one example is the fire where he comes up and goes bye. I was like, oh, that's really cheesy. When he was like, I'm not.
I didn't think it was cheesy.
That.
I didn't think it was even them trying to be funny. Because before that you seemed to do the little dancer thing. I don't know. I guess it was like his skill as a pyro.
I know, but it still it came off for me. I was like, that's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple other scenes where the audience, I don't know, I don't know if this was the same for you, but like when Harley Quinn took out that entire spoilers, the elevator scene,
yeah,
where all of them come rushing in to fight two guys and she's already taken care of them and she walks off and she's like walking by and all of them are like, their mouths are open. They're like, oh, really? And like, she's like, come on. And everybody, you know, that was obviously like a setup for like a giggle moment, but I feel like we already saw her kick ass, so we know what she can do. And so it really kind of fell flat with the, especially with the theater I was in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it just depends on how you view that scene. By the way, if we haven't already said so, fucking spoilers, a ton of them. They're like, we're going to dissect this movie, so if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want spoilers, then you should obviously stop listening, I feel.
Correct.
Like, see, because I read that scene as like, because at that point, she knew the Joker was coming to rescue her, and I feel like Deadshot knew also. And so she like, I felt like it was her like trying to take off and then like run into trouble on her way up. So when they had their guns pulled, I felt like those guns were,
you felt
on
like
her,
they were for her,
not necessarily on the issue. Because how are they going to know that something was going to start attacking her on an elevator? And so I feel like they were there to get her. And then, you know, then she was like, oh, hey, let's do this. Like, let's go. Like, it was more of them being like, what the fuck? Also, how the fuck did they get up there so quickly?
Yeah,
that's, but
for real.
Whatever, whatever. Faster elevator, I guess. I don't know. But
there was so let's talk about pacing a little bit of the film since we're getting into the scenes and everything. While it did go, like, everything seemed very smooth, I will say this, there is a rumor going around, it seems to probably be true, because of everything that's gone on, David Ayer had a movie cut and it was a more serious tone. Then we heard about all these reshoots. Well, after the trailer came out and everyone loved it, and said, wow, this looks like a lot of fun. And, you know, it was really funny. Warner Brothers got nervous. They went to the studio who cut the trailer and said, hey, cut a version of the film. So they cut a version of the film. And
is that
then
the one we saw?
And no, that's not. So then Warner Brothers got that company and David Ayer together. And then they met and said, OK, let's meet in the middle. And that's the movie that we saw.
OK, I don't know. I mean, for me, the pacing was I like how they set it up with like, here are the members, and they kind of break down everyone's story. Mm-hmm. That I was fine with that. It was cool to see some of that stuff. It was fucking Batman. The best. It was cool to see the flat spoilers, the Flash, a little bit, little lights, little tiny little scene.
Little scene.
Good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like,
it instantly switched, right?
Yeah, and then it was, and here we go.
Yeah, like, it was like, it was almost like it goes, okay, introduce, so we have all this exposition for 30 minutes, and then instantly we're at the end. And I was like, whoa,
yeah.
What happened?
Well, it was just like, I mean, here's the team. Okay, yeah, we'll give you permission to do this. Cool. And then the next day, they need the team. Like,
right.
Immediately.
It's just like, call in the squad.
Yeah.
How about fucking call in Batman? He's a, what the fuck?
Yeah, immediately jump to them. But like, I don't know. And one, I have to say this, though. The trailer, unlike Batman versus Superman, I felt like gave away like relatively little. Because I did not know who the bad guy was. Even though I feel like they did show a lot, I feel like they didn't show a lot of the plot and like how the movie was going to back and forth and back and forth between like a lot of the Joker stuff you see in the trailer is like flashback stuff, which was really fucking cool. And I really liked how they didn't give away the movie. I did not really know what to expect. And like, even having seen the trailer, what I saw in the theater was not necessarily what in my head I thought the movie was going to be about.
Yeah. Same with me. And, I really liked, I liked the film. It did jump around a lot as far as like, you know, at one point I was like, when they're running up the stairs, I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, who are they going? What are they, who are they saving?
Yeah.
And then when they finally saw, and then finally saw who it was, I was just like, oh, they're going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm. But you know, and I think it was on Conan during, San Diego Comic-Con, when they were on his show, they commented like, Amanda Waller is the meanest bitch like ever.
For real.
Like, she is a badass bitch. And it was like badass and like ruthless in a way that I did not see coming, though I should have, because her character is mean and ruthless on Arrow, and she is in the comics, like, so I should have known what I was getting. But like, she just fucking cleared house. She was like, cool, wipe those hard drives. Plop, 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 plop.
Why the fuck isn't she in, like, she's worse than these motherfuckers.
Well, that's what I think Deadshot says.
That's what Deadshot says.
It's like, and we're the bad guy.
Yeah, we're the bad guys. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about characters. Great cast, but I will say this. You could have dropped every single one of those Suicide Squad members, kept Deadshot and Harley Quinn, and it would just been their movie. Like, that's essentially because that's where the focus was. I think that they highly underutilized. I know I might catch flack for this, but the comic relief of Boomerang was fucking awesome, and they missed so many opportunities with him.
Yeah, I agree. Like, because I remember in the trailer, because like, he's kind of a more serious bad guy for Flash. Not like super serious. He's not like Captain Cold or anything. But like, you know, but in this one, he's just like some doofus, like just pussy. Like, he's the worst. Like, I don't know why they thought that he would be good for the squad. Because every time they're like, okay, like, you can go. He's like, peace. Just like fucking.
He just fucking bounces. Dude, like, I just laugh so hard. I think that they missed an opportunity when he gets stabbed. Spoilers. I think he should have got stabbed with the fucking the pink unicorn instead. Like, he pulls that out with the knife and he's like, and he like goes nuts. Instead, it's like money, and you're just like, oh, I was so expecting it to be the fucking unicorn.
Although it did raise the question. Where did you get that money?
Where the fuck did you get the money, man?
Which is fine, because like, I think that works too with like just the, where did you get that? Mm-hmm. But they really played up Diablo a little bit more than I expected, which that was kind of...
Yeah, I couldn't believe that he had such a big role at the end.
Huge role, yeah, right? And then, yeah, like, I feel like they could have utilized Boomerang more. Killer Croc more. Yeah. I liked Killer Croc, like, man, a few words, but every time he said something, it was always really good.
Yeah.
Like we're all we're all good looking or pretty on the outside. We're all ugly on the inside. Like, except for Killer Croc.
He's like, he's shorty, ugly on the shorty. I look good.
Yeah, honey, I look good. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Now let's get to the big question that everybody's asking. And
you don't want to talk about how. Like I know.
I was gonna bring up Joker.
Okay, I thought you were gonna like mention like because like Will Smith killed it as Deadshot.
Oh yeah, Will Smith killed it as Deadshot, and then of course, Robbie killed it as Harley Quinn.
Yeah, there's one scene
and fucking spot on.
Segue into this with the Joker. Like, it shows her backstory with the Joker and stuff, and it was really good. Mm-hmm. And there's one scene, and it's kind of like in this weird like flashback sort of thing with them, and she's dancing. They're dancing together, and she's in the classic Harley Quinn jester outfit, and it was like, yes,
like they got it fucking right.
It was awesome, and it's only in there for a few seconds, but it's like, I want to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, and then she absolutely fucking perfect as Harley Quinn. Can't say good enough things. She's gonna get her own film, like, no doubt.
Oh, I think they've already. I mean, they announced even before this one came out that she was going to.
Deadshot, excellent. Although my argument still stands. Put on the fucking mask. We don't need to see your face all the goddamn time. I always hate that. If you're gonna have a mask in a movie, I think it needs to be on at least 80% of the time, because that's part of the character. Like. Let it be part of the character. But I do like
it is and it isn't. Like, because it's so weird. Because sometimes in the comics he has it, and then sometimes he doesn't. Like, even like in the movie, where it's like sometimes he just uses the eye reticle thing and doesn't use the mask, and then sometimes he uses the mask. And I don't know what the mask provides that the eye reticle doesn't. I don't fucking understand. I don't. Yep. I wish they would have explained that a little bit more.
But I really fucking loved. I absolutely loved. When Harley Quinn, when he puts on the mask, she looks over at him and goes, "Pussy."
Yeah,
that's awesome. So before we jump into Joker, because that's a big thing, I will say that I think that they overplayed all of the thugs, and I think that they were too cookie cutter, and a lot of them were like classic it was almost like 90s style Batman thugs, where it's like all these gold chains and like classic slick back hair, and he's just like, "Hey, boss," you know. And it's just, it was just like, oh my god, these guys are fucking just like goons, like pulled out. It was almost like they were like, "What do we got in the back? Just put that on."
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of laughed at that, but
I liked it. I thought it was a nice like homage to the Joker and his stupid clown posse. Although, like, I was glad that they weren't like, I was worried that because they wear clown makeup and masks and stuff in like the or and masks they did in the Heath Ledger one, which I thought was really cool for that, because that's how you reveal the Joker in that movie. But yeah, in the cartoon and stuff, they're all dressed as clowns, so it was cool to see like. It was just like Halloween costumes.
Yeah, that was cool. That part was
like
cool.
Like the fucking and the
Batman
panda.
And the Batman fucking hat too.
Yeah,
like that was cool. Joker. I'm still on the fence. Like still on the fence. Like I liked a lot of it. I loved his mannerisms and like and everything, but I'm still on the fence with him. I don't know if I like him or if I don't like him.
I
like parts of him.
Yeah, they did a couple of weeks ago, like right before, they started releasing trailers that were like character specific.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see a little bit more of all these different characters, all the members of the squad, even though he's not one. But they did one for the Joker. And I think that was where I was like, okay, to see a little bit more. I was like, okay, I'm on board. I like what's going on. It's different. It's weird. It's good. And then seeing the movie, I felt the same way, too. I was like, I like this. I want to see more of this. That's how I left that. It was like, yeah. I like what I saw. I want to see more.
I definitely want to see more. But I didn't like the, once again, the kind of like gangster. I was like, I don't know if I'm feeling that. Like he has all these gold chains on and then he's just like, and then he's got the rings and everything. And I'm just like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel very Joker-esque to me. But that's me basing it on the past, I have very little knowledge on the comics of Joker, right? Like my big Joker influences are seeing what I've seen in the Dark Knight Returns, and then Killing Joke, and then of course all the film Jokers. And so right. I was open to a new Joker. I don't think that David Ayer was like, "Hey, the tattoos tell a story." I don't think those were needed at all. They didn't really add anything for me for him. But I mean, other than that, I loved his portrayal. Like the voice was pretty cool. Sometimes I was like, eh. Like there was this one part where he goes, the fucking helicopter gets hit with a missile, and he goes, this bird is baked.
Yeah.
And I was like, obviously, like maybe that's an homage to something in the past, to his silliness as the Joker. But I was like.
Yeah, they're not taking like things super serious. Like, you're crashing right now, and
he's
making a pun.
But I was at the same time, I was like, this is like a super serious crazy Joker, and at the same time, you're making that kind of pun. It's just it teeter tottered on that, right? Like it was just like this guy's really mentally not challenged, but mentally like psycho. Yeah, but at the same time, yeah, he's unstable, and maybe that's the reason why he can go back and forth like that, but. I just wasn't used to that kind of back and forth. And maybe also because of the fact that he even Jared Leto went on somebody, maybe Conan or something, and he said that his screen time was heavily cut. Like a lot of his stuff was cut out of the movie, and he's hoping that there's a director's cut and that all of his stuff is in the movie, but maybe that's why I'm feeling that way too. Maybe I'm just, there's something missing for me.
Yeah, like I said, I want more, and I really hope because the Batman movie right now is rumored to be in Arkham. Like I think that that's what I think Affleck said that's what he wants to do. He wants to focus on Arkham Asylum. So I know that's like, oh great, another Batman movie with a Joker. But I feel like in Arkham, like with the Joker, like they could do fucking Arkham Asylum, like the game in the movie, and it could be really good. And I think that version of the Joker would work well in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, I want to see more. I want to see more. I like what I saw, and I want to see more. And because I want to see him truly interact with Batman instead of like the two
full,
seconds
full,
we got
like scenes, right? Like full scenes instead of just like quick, quick lines. Like, all we got were like little lines here and there. It wasn't like full dialogue back and forth.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what I'm missing before I before I fully am just like, fuck yes. You know, yeah. Like, I just want to see what he's capable of. So I'm on mm-hmm. board with you. I need to see, I definitely want to see more. But it's a great direction for him.
Yeah, it's different, and I like it. I mean, because it's different enough that you can't go like, it's different enough that I don't feel like you can fairly go, well, Heath Ledger played it better. Like, well, he played that version of the Joker awesomely, but so did Jack Nicholson. He played his version of the Joker mm-hmm. awesomely as well. And so far, so what we've seen from Leto, I feel like he has as well. Now, when we see more of him and we get more of a complete story with him, then I feel maybe it's a little more fair to judge. Like, well, right. I like that Joker more than this one for sure, but it's different. It's different enough that I don't feel like you can truly compare yeah. just yet.
And do you think that Rick Flagg was miscast or no? Did you like him?
No, I love that actor.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like maybe they could have gone with someone more stoic in a way. I don't yeah. know, like more serious. I mean, he was serious, but I feel like could have portrayed it better. But I really like that actor, and
I like him as well. But I didn't feel like he could command all those fucking guys, you know, and girls.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like he was truly in charge.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like they could have gotten. That's what I meant by like more stoic. I yeah. know that means like more serious, but like just someone who could like yeah a more commanding presence in mm-hmm. a way.
Like they should have just fucking put The Rock in there.
Yeah, so the shit they've already casted him as like yeah. or Black Adam or whatever.
He's like, get the fuck over here. Oh, okay, all right, I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean that would have been good. I mean he is definitely kind of like a Sylvester Stallone type, you know, kind of Rambo-ish. He's a you know military big, not even that. Maybe like Jean-Claude Van Damme, sort of. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. just like a military dude.
Well, if you see him in Fast 7, like you could totally see him in that part. I was just joking, but like the more I think about it, it's just like, well, yeah, he could really pull that off.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Like I said, he's already been cast in a movie that I haven't heard anything about since they announced that he was cast in yeah. it. There's not even like a fucking date on that. But I don't know. Again, I really like that actor, so I'm a little biased.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything that we could talk? Definitely talk about the ending, where I felt the ending was definitely phoned in.
That's what I've seen from a couple of reviews where it's like great beginning, lackluster ending. Because one of the things they got right in this movie in comparison to Bats versus Superman, where I feel they failed the biggest, was they set up the villain in like the first 45 minutes or less of this movie. First 30 to 45 minutes right. of the movie, you know who the big bad guy is. Mm-hmm. And it feels almost like in a way like there's too much going on or too long of time between it starting and them getting there, because it's been like 3 fucking days. Yeah. And it's like, really? 3 days? Like they haven't fucking destroyed Earth yet? That's insane. But I like that they did that, where instead of like, oh, it's Batman versus Superman. Just kidding. The last 15 minutes are going to be Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman versus Doomsday.
Right.
Like, I'm glad that we knew who it was to begin with, and I did not know that's who the bad guy was going to be. I guess there's technically two, either of them. That was cool.
That was cool. Yeah.
I felt my biggest problem was it felt too easy.
Yes. Like I went after. Okay, so both of these things are spirits, right? The way that they get out of their magic bottles is they get released. So you're telling me that a bomb underneath of someone who is inside of a body explodes and then the spirit isn't fucking released. Like, I'm like, really? Especially because, and somebody else brought this up, and then they're like, they go, well, his heart could have been in him and all that. I go, and I was like, no, he didn't have a heart in there was no, like, the heart was hidden. They never found his heart.
Yeah,
as far as we know.
100% agreed. And I wish, and maybe it'll be in the director's cut, where, like, if you destroy the vessel the spirit is within, that's a way to destroy them as well, or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because yeah, the bad guy is, it's Enchantress and her brother.
Right.
Like she breaks free from like Amanda Waller's control. She releases her brother. They team up and they start fucking shit up. And yeah, it's just like, It made sense for how they killed her, because they destroyed her heart.
They destroyed her heart, and even without the heart, she was still there, but she had to be destroyed still. And the other thing that really bothered me is that they treated the audience like idiots. Like, the way that you said it, I think that it would have been great if there was a little bit of, hey, this is how we have to kill them kind of thing. Because they did have that book. They had all that information on these guys in the in the top secret files. But instead, motherfucking Vlad was like, hey, her heart's out. Now we can destroy her. Yeah. Motherfucker, we already know how this works. We do not need you to tell us. And so that's what they decided to tell us. But they've already foreshadowed that like 8 times prior to this. So I don't think they needed that.
Yeah, because I think he tells them even before they go in. And like, we already know this because they've mentioned it earlier on in the movie.
Right.
But then he tells them like the only way to destroy her is to destroy her heart. And then, they get the heart out. And he's like, good, the heart's out. Now we can now we have to destroy it.
Yeah, it's just like,
how about you cut the chit chat and you destroy the fucking heart?
Yeah, you just do it. Like, yeah. Fucking do it.
So I felt that it was too easy. I kind of wish that Diablo's, like, when he transformed into the demon, would have done way more damage to that dude. I kind of wish that is how. I wish it had almost been reversed. Like, I wish that he had gone into demon form and just annihilated the brother. Like,
yeah, that would have been.
And that is how.
I would have been happy.
Yeah, because a demon. Something doesn't really make a lot of sense. Didn't really explain that.
No,
that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I was like, and I went, when I saw that, I go, did that happen in the comics?
Well, he is like, I don't want to say possessed because it's like she's possessed, but he does have like a demon living in him, sort of thing. You can like go back and forth between the two.
Uh-huh.
So they don't really focus on that at all, because he even says something like, the devil's in me or something like that. And so, yeah, I would have loved him to turn into like that demon thing, fiery demon thing, and then just like snuffed out the brother like it was like just nothing.
Right, because of the fact that he was already melting through his heart, mm-hmm. and like his whatever he was doing, like that could have been the end of it and fine. But then again, they had to have Killer Croc. There had to be a reason for him to be there, and I guess the sewer thing. And they were like, all right, we'll do this, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, it was just I wish that. I wish that we kind of seen him more as the demon, and that would have made more sense, because again, like, you could go like, well, the demon took the spirit or something, you know what I mean, or dissolved the spirit and got rid of it, and then like, boom, there you go, that's why he's dead, that's why he's gone. Yeah. And then I don't know, and then maybe because at that point he's OP, so then maybe she does something to distract him or get him out of the demon spirit, and then the bomb goes off. You know, there's a lot of other things I could have done instead.
And he could have, they could have still kept what happened, which was his flame gets exhausted because he's just too tired, or, you know, there's the fucking sprinkler system goes off. I don't fucking know. But, you know, like, he could have been extinguished and went back into human form. No big deal. And then they could have dealt with Enchantress, but.
Yeah, and then my other complaint was with the fighting, is kind of what you see a lot in these movies now. Is I feel like they're like, it has to be bigger and, you know, more destruction. Because it's like, there was a lot of just shit going on behind them. And I know it's supposed to be like magic and like all this crazy like stuff happening and like all these pieces folding in on themselves and all this crazy like origami looking shit. But it was just like, there's too much going on. It's too much. It's too much. Like, I don't know. And all this stuff falling from the sky at the end. It was just like, well, there goes another fucking city.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
You know what I think would have made a better introduction? Like, here's my story. Instead of having this mystical creatures or anything like that, or the fucking world getting taken apart again and the Suicide Squad having to come in, reserve that for your fucking A-list casts, right? Not saying that these aren't A-list characters, but when you're introducing them, I would have liked to see a more compact story. I would have liked to see something a little bit smaller in scale. How about this? You make the movie about them having to come together, and they're doing these missions. We see a fucking montage, whatever, of them getting closer as a team. And then the main villain being what's-her-face. Being Amanda Waller, and the final mission, like, they're trying to get these fucking bombs out of their necks. and them going after that and trying to like, I would have seen like to see something else, something like that, to really introduce the characters instead of going this big this early on.
But at the same time, I feel like I mean, yeah, it was Enchantress, but I feel like it wasn't as big as it could have been, like how Bats versus Superman did it, where they just went straight for the fucking big name. Because they go against a lot of different villains as well. I don't know if I would have liked to see them go after Amanda Waller, because if they get rid of Amanda Waller, then they don't exist.
Well, maybe not even get... I mean, you don't have to get rid of her, but they fucking, you know, they destroy the shit that is in there that's controlling them.
That's part of the comics, man. I don't know. That to me is too... Because otherwise they wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was something else. What else is there to talk about? It was a lot of stuff happened in this movie.
There's a lot. I think that we could wrap it up, and you know, this we've gone pretty far into this. So let's give our reviews, our review scores, and then of course I end every single review by saying this: these are our opinions. Go make your own.
Oh man, I got a fun story for you. You're friends with Ed, so you might have seen this.
That
dude that we always shit talk.
Uh-huh.
That dude that you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I haven't seen it on Facebook.
Oh, he posted all these critics are shitting on Suicide Squad. Guess I won't go see it now. And Ed commented, "Hey, how about you go see the movie and form your own damn opinion?" And it got like, it's got so, like, I did like the arrow up like that. Mm-hmm. And then the person below me went like even more like that. And then it like, last I saw it had like 8 likes, and it was just like, yeah, fuck you. Yeah. You're an asshole. Yeah. Go, don't listen to us, but like, listen to the show, but don't, I mean, yeah. You know,
go form your own opinion. Our opinions could be shit compared to yours. You could end up loving it, or you could agree with us, but always go form your own, because right now we're just being critics of the film because we saw it and that's what we think. And I always am one that says I don't listen to the critics until I go see it. And so unless it gets a 0, then I start to peek up and I'm like, oh, this got a 1 Metacritic. Maybe I'm not going to see that one.
Yeah. I feel like there was something else I wanted to mention, but I can't. Oh my God, I can't fucking think of it. There is a mid-credits.
Yeah, there's a mid-credits, so you can definitely see that. So now we know how, spoilers, now we know how Batman gets the files.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess another set of files. Another set. Clearly, I mean, he ain't got whatever he got from Lex, but it looks like... he got some stuff from Waller, which is funny. I like that because that's from the comic too, a little bit, where she's like, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't stay out so late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. Because I think in the comic at one point she's just like, blah, 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 Bruce. Or, you know, and like talking to Batman. And he just kind of like turns his head, like cause he's walking away. He just kind of turns and then just turns and just keeps walking. But it's one of those like, ooh, she know who you is, bro.
And I liked how he was out. Just like, listen, stop playing around with those boys and girls. Let us handle it.
Yeah, let me and my friends handle it.
Yeah, let me and my friends handle it. It was pretty cool. Okay, so let's get to scores. We always do it out of 10. I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10.
It's fair. That's what I would give it. It's currently sitting on IMDb at a 7.5, which I also feel is fair.
Yeah.
I haven't got a 7.5. I think I go a little bit. I give it a 75%. There was stuff I liked, the stuff I didn't like.
It's not a terrible film. It's not a bad film. It's not a great film, but it's definitely a decent, good film that you should definitely go see because it's a lot of fun. If you don't take anything away from it, it's just a popcorn film for you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. You just turn your brain off and watch some people fuck some other people up. It's a lot of fun. And again, the casting is great.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Harley Quinn, you're going to like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of the Joker, you're probably going to like this movie.
There's a lot of stuff for everyone. Yeah. And so, like I said, I cannot wait to see what comes next. We have Wonder Woman coming up. We have Justice League. Those films will be probably the first two of, well, maybe not even. Maybe Geoff Johns doesn't start his creative input until after
Wonder Woman.
And I would Justice say after League.
Wonder Woman, since they're currently in the process of filming. Justice and League. Because it Yeah, Justice League. Yeah. And because it's been with Justice League that WB has kind of had to step in because of Zack Snyder directing.
Yeah. So you'll definitely see his imprint for Justice League. Oh, the other thing I was going to say about this film, the reason why that this is real quick.
I think he wrote for Justice League and the New 52.
Oh, yeah. No, he launched. Jeff Johns launched the new, what's it called? The new initiative.
Rebirth. Oh, I'm looking. I've got Justice League Origin, which is the like kickoff series of Justice League from the New 52 when it launched.
He wrote that
like
one.
The Batman. Yeah, it was him and Jim Lee, which are like the two
big top dogs.
Yeah, of DC Comics. So
and he relaunched. He did Rebirth. He was the head of that. So, Suicide Squad actually was written in 6 to 9 weeks. That's how fast it came together. And so that's why it kind of shows you a little bit of why the plot was so thin.
Yeah, I think one of my biggest complaints about this movie, not like how quickly it came together, was like one of those like, hey, this is happening, and like that it fucked over Arrow. Mm-hmm. Arrow season 3 was supposed to be with the Suicide Squad. They've started filming episodes with the Suicide Squad. They had people cast. They had Tara Strong, who was the voice of Harley Quinn, playing Harley Quinn. And we said this on our show last week. We'll say it again. If you want to see some good Harley Quinn cosplay, you should go look up Tara Strong's Harley Quinn cosplay.
Would you have liked to seen her instead of Margaret?
No. No, it's tough. Because she.
Oh, can I just say?
This is going to make me sound like I'm an ageist or something. Because
she's too old?
She's 43, I think. And Margot Robbie is 26. So
Margot Robbie.
Longevity, I think that like Margot Robbie was obviously the better choice.
This is going to make me sound terrible, but I'm pretty sure everyone was in agreement as well. I could watch her walk away as Harley Quinn. Any fucking day.
It's going to make me sound even more terrible, but I was like, she could use a little more junk in the trunk.
Aww. I thought she had a cute little booty.
It's just, I mean, the shorts definitely helped, but it was definitely like, you know what? She had a little bit more, and it'd be more to my taste, but she's very good looking. Mm-hmm. She's very, very good looking. Tara Strong is very, very good looking, and she looks good as Harley Quinn as well.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Attractive women. I mean, that's why they hired them. You know, that's they're good looking women.
Let's do it.
Well, that's not why they hired Tara Strong. They hired her because she could do the Harley Quinn voice. Right. But
she just happens to be pretty hot.
So. Yeah. Fucking happenstance. I knew she was pretty, but I did not know that she was that pretty as Harley Quinn until I saw that cosplay.
And
you
were like, holy shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah, she's like 43 or something, which, yeah. I mean, hey, whatever.
Get it, girl. Get it.
Get it. Get it. 40 is the new 30.
I hope so. When I get there. All right. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
And be sure to tune in to 8-Bit Geek every Tuesday right here on iTunes, Google Play, everywhere you get your podcasts. We're on
apparently the Windows Store?
And the Windows Store. Yeah, now we're on the Windows Store. So awesome. We're happy for that. We'll see you next review. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out.